Morning all, Tuesday, May 7, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And Josh Reynolds is in with us this morning. Loz is here, and Joshy, I was just trying to get him to predict one hell of an ambush for his Dogs heading to the foot of the mountains to play the triple defending champions on Friday night in Penrith. But we've not had a good omen to start the day because, God bless him, he brings the coffees every time he comes and fills in with us. And unfortunately, the coffees, well, the coffee cups made it up the stairs. Unfortunately, the liquid didn't make it into the front door. Morning to you, Josh. How are you?
Good morning, mate. And yes, I can say that is 100% true. That has happened. But this is why I love Middo. He said, what did you say? You said, oh, is it in the car? Did you spill them in the car? And I thought, no, I didn't. It was outside of the car. So that's a win in a losing situation. And that's why I love having you around. I love having you as a mate because that is a positive in a negative situation.
I've done it in the car. My four coffees. And that smell hangs around for weeks. And the thing is, there was, like, it did it good because there was only, there was like, what, an inch of coffee left in one cup.
Did you end up having it?
No. It was just, I just figured, you know what, this just, let's write this off.
Yeah.
This hasn't worked this morning.
It's fair to say it has not worked.
What was the seat? Say, what was it? Were you trying to juggle certain things?
And, I'm a bit, as you probably noticed, I had my charger. I have a bag. I have a nice bag too that Sian actually brought a nice, because, you know, I'm in the business world now, Loz. I go to meetings and stuff. So I've actually I've got a satchel. A nice, beautiful leather satchel.
I reckon you and Clark, you could probably compare them.
And I did bring my satchel today. So I was holding the lappy, holding the charger. And yeah, it's just dropping me lollies.
It can happen, Grubby. It can happen. Morning, boys. Look, just don't be down on yourself, mate. It can happen to anyone. The thought was there, as it always is. So thank you for that non-coffee this morning.
I still tried to give you yours, Harv.
Yeah, no, there wasn't much in it. Because I'm only a two-shotter.
Yeah.
So there would have been a quarter of a shot. So I thought, no, I'll throw it out. I'll put it in the bin. But, no, it's always the thought that counts. And I've got myself a nice cup of tea this morning. So I'm hoping that the tea will settle me till about 6 o'clock.
Good to hear, Loz. And we need you happy.
Oh, yeah, we've got to be happy. Got to be happy. I tell you what, I can feel the energy already off Grum.
Yeah.
He's up and about early this morning. What time did the alarm go off?
Early this morning, boys, because I've moved.
Where are you?
I'm over Oatley. Now,
how far is that from where you were?
Well, it only used to take me about 20 minutes. Now it's about a good 48 minutes. So I was up a bit earlier.
You're getting down towards Adam Pengilly territory. He's about 58 minutes, he said yesterday.
So is Oatley Dragon or Bulldogs area?
No, Dragon.
Dragon's
yeah,
area.
South.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit on edge.
Yeah.
Walking down Oatley shops yesterday.
Yep.
Got a couple of daggers. I think I said something about the Dragons after Anzac Day. And they're off me. But no, lovely area.
How long you been there?
Only last week, Loz. Yeah, so pretty fresh.
Oh, good man.
Right next to Big Aaron Woods, actually.
Woodsy.
Had a coffee with him the other day. And
how's the big fella going?
He's good, mate. Yeah,
So you found the coffee shop?
Yes.
Have you found a local?
I have found a local.
Yeah.
I will say very welcoming.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Corner Cafe, it's called.
Yeah.
I like doing the rounds of the coffee shops though.
Yeah.
So I got a day off. So I had a day off on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I just woke up early at about 6, went and got a coffee from one coffee shop, went back to bed, probably watched 25 minutes of a show, went out to another coffee shop and got another one. Got back into bed, yeah.
Right, so you like to do the rounds of the coffee shop.
Yeah,
find out
just
where you're
test
get it from.
Test the one. Yeah, right. Disgusted. But, you know, you do know I have a couple of energy problems, also known as ADHD, and can't relax for long periods of time. But, so it was a little bit of a longer trip, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. It's all highways, isn't it, M5? Do you go up the M5?
No, you just go all King George's the whole way. So I get on King George's from like pretty much, let's say about Hurstville. And then you just follow it.
Ah, right, yeah. North. I've got my bearings wrong.
Yeah. Don't have to pay tolls that way too, do you?
Well.
So you've avoided the tolls, which laws.
It's a country thing. Start.
We avoid tolls.
Oh, we know.
Let's not go back to the Concord golf course situation that day.
Oh, yes.
There's no science.
Touchy.
Well, someone's already texted in. There's a poultry pie shop. Have you been there yet? That's from Smitty.
I haven't, but I can't, Smitty, because I am a very, very loyal customer to Garlow's Pies. You know how it is. Good friend, but maybe I'll try one. Anyway, more importantly, how was Wagga, boys?
It was sensational. It was quiet Thursday night. We were just at the William Farrer for the Calcutta. Then we got to the races on Saturday. Friday. That sums it up. Didn't even know what day.
That was a good one.
I only saw Loz once briefly during the day. And you were talking to the great Peter Fitzgerald and Bjorn Baker when I ran into you.
Yeah, we were at the back. That's where I stayed.
I don't know if I saw you for the rest of the day.
I didn't see a race live.
Because we're at the front. Yeah. out amongst it. Yeah. And you were just near the betting ring
That's
day.
Where I stayed all day.
Yeah. Well, you didn't hang out with the boys?
Well, mate.
People I had to see.
You've got to understand, when you're in his home patch,
the king returns.
Yeah, it's unlike anything you'll ever see.
There's plenty of people around that I knew. So.
Yeah. How was your best mate? Any good stories?
None I can't share.
Oh, okay. I love that. You gave me great vibes about him.
None I can share, I should say. He was outstanding. He was in good form. He left a little bit early.
Did he?
He got a little bit crook.
Any good shenanigans, boys? Like anyone? I find at those events, there's always someone absolutely going off.
The pub we went to after the track, the Sporties, was a bit of nightclub sort of feel about it.
I cut a few shapes on the dance floor.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you really?
I love dancing.
Well, I don't see you as a dancer.
Yeah, I'm not good at it.
Yeah, no, just in general.
I'm good at it, but I like when I hear a good song.
Cutting a shape.
Yeah. I've cut a few shapes. A couple of years ago, we did down in Wagga on the William Farrer. I think Middo might have joined me on the dance floor.
It's when you and Paul Kelly were cutting shapes.
How was the great DS?
Well, he was giving winners out during the middle of the day when we needed them.
He was
So, yeah, he had a run of winners. So he was going all right. But he had to leave, actually, because he had to go to Hawkesbury on Saturday. So he left sort of mid-afternoon, I think. But he was still providing mail that won. I know I won on one of them, so I was delighted with him.
He didn't want to stay the extra night?
He had duties.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. He had duties on Saturday.
Such a company man, isn't he?
Always. I saw him nice and bright the next day. I think he had a kerchief on, too. He was sitting there with the duff out at Hawkesbury.
Hosting a function, I think, wasn't he?
I think so. Mm.
But no, fantastic day. Character building flight home on Saturday morning. But we made it.
I'm locked in next year, whether I'm working or not. I'm coming.
We ran into your brother.
Yeah, I heard.
We did.
I got a photo from Middo.
Yeah.
And
I think your brother, would have sent you that photo.
I've heard very raving reviews of Wagga. So I really want to go.
Totally recommend it. Fafita's Titanic Call. Roosters enter the race. That's back page of the Daily Telegraph. The Courier Mail, same headline. Fafita's Titanic Call. Back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Roosters join Panthers in hot pursuit of Fafita. And there it is on the back page of the Australian as well. Roosters late pitch to snare marquee star. Gee, it's good to be in demand, isn't it?
Mm.
Reports Penrith are offering, $850,000 a season? The Herald saying that is a formal offer after Fafita met with Ivan Cleary, the Panthers coach. Now, Ivan Cleary, front of the media yesterday, naturally didn't want to talk about it. All he would say about Fafita is marquee player, was what he said. Then the Telegraph said the Dragons and their coach Shane Flanagan will also meet with Fifita. They've, of course, got room in their cap with Zach Lomax leaving. Possibly got more to spend than Penrith as well. And then we saw, well, Denny Wilder and Michael Chemis report that the Roosters are offering somewhere around $3.3 million over 4 years. $825,000 there or thereabouts that would be per season. So it looks like it's, let's be honest, this is Roosters v Panthers. Can you see him staying at the Titans? I don't think he will be.
Oh, I don't think so. Not after hearing that he wants to win a premiership and the way that the Titans are going this year, albeit they've started to play some decent football over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But he'll probably see himself winning a comp either with the Panthers or the Roosters first before the Titans can win a comp. I could see him playing with Nathan Cleary, and I think that would elevate his game as well. Do they play him as a back rower, though, Penrith, or do they see him as a middle forward? What do the Roosters see him as? Do they see him as an edge back rower? Do they see him as a middle? And what is most importantly, does he see himself? And where does he see himself having the most success? I think financially it's going to be similar. You know, I think if he stayed at the Titans, he's going to get more money, but I think he's made it clear that he wants to win a comp and wants to go to a strong Sydney team. And they're two suitors of the Roosters and Panthers. So it's all about what he wants, where he wants to play, and who he thinks has got the best chance of winning.
Yeah, I definitely, for me personally, I think he has to stay in the back row. Okay, let's just say if he goes to Penrith, Loz, right now, Fifita's a big play player. He looks for the big play a lot of the time. If he goes to somewhere like Penrith, look at their back rowers now. Sorensen and Martin, all they do is all the little stuff. They clean up. They do all the little things, the little cliche one percenters, that probably Fifita hasn't got in his game at the moment. Mm. But if he goes to Penrith, he will just take his game to the next level.
Do they play him as a back rower, or do they play him as a middle?
I would definitely play him as a back rower. That's me personally. What they'll do, they got Isaiah Yeo there as a 13. Could you turn him into a front rower? I like him when he's wider. There was times in that game, the Melbourne game on the weekend, when he was that bit wider, just throwing off Jerome Hughes like he was nothing. So I think that creates that little bit of havoc out wide. And if I'm Fifita, so he's gone the opposite to what everyone usually does. So Fifita's gone, he got a really good deal early in his career. And, you know, if you're weighing up, if you're sitting at home right now, Fifita, and you're weighing up the money, mate, take the cut. It's not, mind you, he's on 1.2. He's going to get $850 still, which is amazing money. Amazing money. Think about if Penrith turn you into possibly one of the best back rowers in the game, you will get nearly paid that in your next deal. So the money should have nothing to do with it. For me personally, if he goes to somewhere like Penrith, look out. The competition, look out.
Yeah. I just think the Roosters would probably be just slightly favourites. Do you think?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because they're too enticing sort of offers. The thing with the Roosters, though, you look at the Roosters at the moment, they're losing all this talent. And if you're David Fifita and your number one priority is to win a comp, you're weighing up the roster and you're going, well, the Roosters might be still a couple of years away.
Mm.
After this year, when they lose everyone. Whereas Penrith look as though they can keep rolling on for a few more years, even though they've lost all these players. And again, it'll come down to the discussions that he has. I thought I read somewhere where they asked, or I'm just assuming, the fact that they lost Fisher Harris, Penrith, they might have seen him as a replacement for that sort of role, but I'm unsure. I'm unsure. But if it's all about premiership, I think it's Roosters or Panthers, and the Titans are off the pace at the moment.
Well, on the Titans, and if he leaves, and it's certainly looking that way, what does it mean for Dez and the Titans and just the Gold Coast from an NRL perspective, where it's really a region and a club? And I'm talking the top level. I know it's a strong rugby league area with the Burley Bears, etc. Palm Beach, Currumbin, as far as their, you know, juniors are concerned. But this is an area at the highest level that's really searching for credibility and hasn't had it. Is it what may run preliminary final, I think, when the Titans first came into being. Yeah. I think it was their second or third season.
Yeah.
Other than that, this club has done zero.
Yeah, well, it's struggled, and it's struggled for a presence, hasn't it? You know, it's always played a backseat to the Broncos and the Cowboys, and you could argue now it's playing a backseat to the Dolphins with the success that they've had early on. Already. So it's the fourth-ranked team up there in Queensland. Look, I think David Fifita, it's his choice where he wants to go and play, but it might give the Titans a chance to put their salary cap into whack. You know, because it's been out of shape because of the money that they've paid both Tino and Fifita. So Fifita's, I think, the highest paid player up there on, what, 1.2 or something. A lot of money for a back rower. You know, when you've got a bloke like Bo Furmore, who's not as dynamic or as damaging as David Fifita and not a game breaker, but for $350,000, $400,000, you know, he does a very good job.
Great job.
So, you know, it might give them an opportunity to go to the marketplace. And what do all good teams look for? Halves. And who are their halves? You got Kieran Foran, who's 34.
Yeah, and Tanner Boyd, who's struggling. The side.
You know, and it might give them an opportunity to sit back and have a look and target a seven.
A big seven.
Ben Hunt. I don't know. It might be someone. Anyhow, it mightn't be Ben Hunt, but it might be someone. But it just gives them a chance to look around for someone else.
Some scores. Crystal Palace leading Manchester United 2-0 in the Premier League this morning. And it looks like Manchester United are looking forward to the post-season trip to Ibiza. And in the boxing last night, Aussie Jason Maloney unfortunately lost his WBO bantamweight title via unanimous decision to Yoshiki Take in Tokyo. And Naoya Inoue, the monster, national hero there in Tokyo, he suffered his first ever knockdown in the first round against Mexican Luis Neri, but he bounced back to retain his super bantamweight titles via a sixth round knockout, and Aussie Sam Goodman entered the ring and called him out after. Actually, just another headline I wanted to get to quickly before the news. This is not a gender issue, and that was in relation to what Graeme Annesley said yesterday as he did his weekly sort of briefing post or any sort of referee issues over the weekend. I'm guessing you were there, were you?
I was there,
Saturday
mate.
At Accor Stadium. It got nice and heated. Ooh, at the end of that game. Your man Reid Marnie just picked up some more enemies on the afternoon for his third man in stuff. Yeah, that's something you would have never have done, being third man in, Grubby.
Nah, I was always first. Throw first. Oh, that's what someone said to me yesterday. He said, what are you actually doing at the Dogs? And I was about to answer the question and be like, oh, they go, are you just working with Reid Marnie? One-on-one.
Personal training.
But it all got out of hand there late, didn't it? And you know, Casey Batch has been subjected to some horrendous stuff on social media, which is just completely unacceptable. But she did have a tough afternoon. And then, you know, Graeme Annesley saying, you know, referees, this, you know, it's not about gender. I think the bunker was probably more culpable even than Casey Badger on Saturday afternoon in some of the things they didn't help her out with.
I haven't seen like that happen in a long time. It just got out of control. And
what did it feel like out of the ground? It felt like...
You felt it.
Yeah.
It felt weird. Like, what's going on here? It felt like you were at Barella Oval. And, like, people are fighting on the field, fighting off the field. Mm. Like, it's like, what's going on here? Like, who's in control? And as you said, Mito, definitely Casey Batch should not be copying any of this, you know, because The thing is as well, what people don't understand, and it is even for me to say, it's a big thing. Like, we all make mistakes. Referees make errors, but at the same time, like, when it happens week after week after week, you sort of, like, yeah, it is frustrating, but that tempers were flaring at the end there. Like, I know Reed, you talk about Reedy, like, but, yeah. Like, to who would the Tigers be fuming at what happened? Is that what you do? Do you think, Meadow? From, because I'm biased, obviously, Bulldog. Do you think from the Tigers' perspective?
Oh, it sounded like everyone was blowing up.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't. I saw. I was watching a lot of the Swans game on Saturday afternoon, but I did see this at the end. So I was thinking, what exactly has gone on here? But you know, you look at the Aiden Caesar situation, Loz, and him not getting sent to the sin bin for that tackle.
Well, I think most people. And I know we're going to get to the 6 o'clock news. I know that most people can accept refereeing blues here and there, but I reckon you're right with the bunker, because we always tie everyone in to the officials, and it's a poor old referee that cops it.
Mm.
But the bunker on the weekend in a lot of the games, I thought, made some errors. But it's all subjective too. That's the other thing, you know. So, look, I just hope they have a better weekend this weekend, or we're not talking about it.
Is it... We can probably, if you want to get, we can get some news, but the obstruction call as well now.
Oh.
Honestly, it's changed now. You can't run at their chest now.
No, you just, you, well, players are playing for it.
Yeah.
But where do back rows run now? Obviously, it can't, you cannot run inside shoulder every single time. I don't care who you are. But as a half, if you're defending, you need to be able to check the back rower and then go to the fullback. It's like it's an art, Loz, isn't it?
You've got to be in front. If you're a half, if you're not in front of a back rower, there's no way you're tackling.
Absolutely no chance. So, when you're right, though, but it's, they're too smart at the moment. They're playing for it. But there was a game in that, the one in that Titans Melbourne game. It literally said, he ran at his chest. Well, that's where you run all the time. As a front rower, they run at each other's chest the whole game. Elbows, isn't that like?
Yeah,
they're. It's cruel in the game. It's cruel in like the nice shapes that get thrown, because you know we all know the outside shoulder getting through the line. 100%, I agree with all that. But running at their chest, you have to.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that one.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, and it is still 2-0 Crystal Palace over Manchester United in the 52nd minute. In the Premier League this morning. So, United, gee, just summing up their season, isn't it? And I just see some more news over in the Premier League in the wake of their 5-0 defeat to Chelsea. West Ham have confirmed their manager, David Moyes, will leave at the end of the season, and he's been there 4.5 years in what is his second stint at the club. He helped the Hammers to the Europa Conference League last year. They've really struggled the last couple of months, though, and currently ninth in the Premier League. So David Moyes to leave at the end of the season. Plenty to talk about in our Tuesday segment, Pressing Matters, and it's coming up next.
At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
Yeah, so just before the news, we were speaking about, well, specifically the issues in the Tigers-Bulldogs game. And, well, Casey Badger's obviously been heavily criticised for the performance as well. And then she copped a barrage on social media, the sewer, and some of the crap that ended up there was just completely unacceptable. But here's what Graham Annesley, the NRL head of football, had to say yesterday in his weekly briefing.
There'll still be a percentage of decisions that people want to argue about. And we, you know, we come here and we pull the games apart and we talk honestly about when we get things wrong and we defend our position when we think we've got things right based on public commentary. But, you know, and we're happy to do that. We are happy to do that. But we just can't cross that line where it becomes a disincentive for people who want to be involved in our game. It becomes a disincentive for us to attract young referees. Referees who in 10 years' time might be refereeing in the NRL, but they won't be refereeing in the NRL if they say, no way, I'm not doing that, not with that level of criticism.
Hard to disagree with anything Graham had to say there.
I think he handled himself really well. I think we all need to be careful as commentators, but you've also in this position to give an opinion on what you think is right or wrong. But you can't afford to cross over that line of making it personal. And if you make it personal or you make it gender-based, then all of a sudden we are in a lot of trouble in terms of attracting people to the game, and in particular females, you know, getting them to become officials of the game. But I think on the weekend, in my opinion, we've got to accept that referees make bad decisions, but you've got to try and work with those officials to try and minimise them going forward. And the bunker sometimes is thrown in with the decisions that the referee makes. And because the bunker is the story that we're talking about, it seems as though the referee gets thrown in with that as well. And then we just talk about the referee rather than breaking it down into separate things in the game. And one of the things on the weekend that I thought we had a shocker with were the bunker decisions rather than a lot of the things that were happening on the field, where the bunker could have intervened and helped the referee.
I agree with you, Loz. Like, the bunker gets time. The ref's on the spot, making a call directly on the spot. Yeah, the bunker gets a little bit of time to look at it. Help them out. Like, they're meant to be their eye in the sky. Like, the bunker, there's no one's watching you. There's how many eyes are on Casey Batchelor that whole game. And just on those people that personal attacks on Casey, like, go away. Like, I don't want people like that in the game. I don't want supporters like that in the game, because players, refs, coaches, everyone, we all have shockers. But there's no need for a personal attack on our families or their families. Like, who do you think you are to do that? You know what I mean? It's her job.
What did you make of James Graham last night on 360 talking about how we should have more people in the bunker? Like a coach, a player, and the referee.
Well,
I think if you have more people, you have more eyes and you see different things. Everyone sees something different, so you're probably going to make it harder.
Different opinions.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it'd make it, for me personally, I think it'll make it harder.
Yeah.
Because, like, your what you think is a, let's talk about obstruction compared to what I think it may be different. So how do you come up with a decision in quick time?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking more about, you know, when we had two referees, for instance, or one controlling the ruck, and at times they saw things differently.
Mm.
And if you've got too many eyes, you see too many different things. So while in theory it sounds good, I'm not sure whether that'd be the right thing to do.
Someone said have someone do every game. Just sit in the bunker all weekend.
Geez, they get hammered.
Bunker in. Imagine that. Just stay there.
Don't come out.
Lock the door.
Like you're hiding from COVID. Yeah. You're just not coming out of the bunker. Get the gas mask and away you go.
David Fifita, big feature of the back pages, as we already saw this morning. And let's have a listen to, Buzz and Gordon Tallis discussing, his value on Fox League last night.
It is the decision of the salary cap auditor to put a value on what David Fifita is worth. I'm not sure everyone in the game thinks he is a million-dollar player.
Well, the Raiders did. Souths did.
Well,
I think the Bulldogs did. I think the Broncos did.
Well, look.
So there's four clubs that did, and they've been around a long time.
I would suggest giving, as much as he's blockbusting, barnstorming, all that sort of thing, his delivery, weight, regularity of his skill, I don't think, in my view, $1 million.
That's courtesy of Fox League last night. So, you know, some debate about, you know, well, if he's paid, you know, $1 million plus now, how can he be valued at, you know, $850, $825? But we've always argued, haven't we, Loz, that whether he is actually worth $1 million.
Well, I think he's playing a lot better now than what he was two or 3 years ago when he signed for the Titans.
For 1.2 report.
Yeah, and he can still stay at the Titans and receive that type of money. But I think he's prioritised the competition over staying at the Titans. Now,
a lot of people will say, why doesn't he stay with the Titans and build a squad up there? He might feel as though that's going to take too much time and he hasn't got that time on his hands. He wants to have instant success and he wants to build his career quickly. Everyone's different. Everyone's got the choice to make and everyone can go and sign where they want to sign. You know, you can't hold someone if they don't want to be there unless he's on contract and you might play hardball. But if he's got a clause in his contract that allows him to move on at the end of the season, he's got every right to go and explore those options. Now, whether he's worth $1 million, I think he is to some clubs. But the good clubs, the ones that are flying high at the moment, possibly not. And they're not going to pay $1 million, but they'll pay 800, 850 for him over a period of time. And you put him into a side with good halves and good front rowers. Like David Fifita is a beast. He's a different back rower to a lot of back rowers in the game. He's just not a back rower that runs a line. He's a back rower that you can give him early ball. He can cut back under. He's got good feet. He's got good strength.
Well, he doesn't really run lines.
Nah.
He always wants it early because he knows what he can do. And as a half, sometimes he'd be a little bit hard to play with. But then at the same time, the amount of quick play the balls he's going to get you is ridiculous. But for me personally, boys, the way I look at it is, what's Cleary on right now?
1.3? 1.4?
Well, he wins your games.
Yeah.
Reece Walsh, he wins you games. At the moment, Fifita doesn't win you games. And that's the way I look at a $1 million player.
Yeah.
The Titans have come last. He's not winning them games just himself. Like, look at Nathan Cleary in that grand final. He won them the game by himself. Reece Walsh, nearly every single game for the Broncos now, he's scoring a try, setting up 2-3. He's winning them games. Mm. And they're the type of players that I would pay that type of money for. But then you look at it, as you just said, Loz, Fifita at 850 at Penrith, well, it's still, for me, in that team, it is nearly $1 million. Like, because the players he's going to be around, oh my God. Like, they will just make him a 10 times better. You know, if he goes to Penrith, what they'll make him do, they'll make him accountable for everything he does, not just big attacking plays.
Yeah.
He'll be a defensive-minded player, and he'll turn into, you know, one of the most hard-working, possibly back rowers with all the stuff that we know he can do.
But you imagine him at a Penrith, what he'd be worth. Like, if you're getting him for 800,000, say, in that Penrith system, the way he'd be playing, people would look at him and go, he's a $1 million player.
Exactly.
Just because he's in that system.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you've got someone then at the bottom, after when he's off contract, goes, well, we're going to get him because he's worth 1.1, 1.2. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get valued. But then you go into that system and you haven't got the same players around you and your market value can drop back. And I think we've spoken about salary cap and how teams can get themselves in a bad position. You've got to be able to truly value a player. And the key to it is signing a player on a certain value and him playing better than what he's actually on, rather than the other way around. Signing someone on a $500,000 contract and he's playing like a $200,000 player. If you've got too many of them in your team, you're going to go backwards pretty quickly.
Okay, some AFL now. And, GWS, they've elected to accept the 3-match ban for Callum Brown for rough conduct for his bump on Tom McCartan in the Sydney Derby on Saturday. And McCartan will miss at least the Swans match with Fremantle. And we know that he's had a lot of concussion issues over the course of his career in the AFL. Here now is what, well, Giants midfielder Josh Kelly had to say on the high shot from Callum Brown.
I mean, it's tough because I think, you know, from my point of view, there was no, you know, malice or intent in the action. But at the same time, you know, we understand the need to protect the head in the current game and just in general. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I think Brownie's, you know, a bit down about it all. But like I said, you got to protect the head. So I think we're understanding of it. But we'll miss him out there, definitely.
That's Josh Kelly there. I heard Lachie Ash, another Giant, yesterday say as well, he said there's got to be, you know, a place in footy for accidents as well, that, you know, that it is a contact sport. And, you know, a lot of what we've spoken about on this program in regards to accidents in the NRL and getting sometimes, you know, judged harshly. What did you make of this, though, Loz? I'm just showing a replay here again because he does, like, he doesn't do a lot wrong. And just the fact he's probably the same height.
Well, your natural reaction when you go for the ball at the last moment when you know you're not going to get it.
And you,
so you and I are both going for the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm going for the ball, you're going for the ball, you're going, going, going. At some stage, you go, oh, I can't get it.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, you brace. Because you're about to...
That's exactly right.
Contact.
Yeah.
You brace for the contact. So I think what they want them to do, which is not what your body would suggest you do, is to continue on going for the football.
Which you're never going to do in that split second moment.
So the reaction is always to brace yourself when you know you're the one that's going to miss out. So for me, I see that as a football accident. Now, I can understand why Codes want to come down hard, but I think 3 games for that, I think, is harsh. I'd be happy if it was a game suspension.
Yeah.
I think possibly 3 games two. Is ridiculous.
And it's unfortunate that he got knocked out. But I still see that as a football accident. But I know that all sports have to protect the head. So what I'm saying is, if you do it and it's a deliberate act, or you could have pulled out of that act, then you get graded higher and you spend more time on the sideline. But if you want to penalise players for a football incident and you still want to suspend them, I wouldn't be suspending them for as long as if it was intentional.
So what does
you
he
know,
do?
As in,
what does he do there?
Well, to give you context, and this is the big sort of, I don't want to say cultural difference, but difference in mentality with AFL types. I heard a couple last night as saying that Brown deliberately went for McCartan's head.
Yeah. He went for his head.
Yeah. David King's one.
He could clearly see he's competing for the ball.
I know, but I'm telling you, there are AFL types who played a lot of footy who say that he was going at his head. And we're watching it here in the studio now, and we... seeing him just brace. He doesn't lift his elbow.
No, I don't see him for contact. I see him going for the ball.
And they're a similar, and unfortunately, because of their height to that particular stage, when he braces with his elbow, McCartan, unfortunately, his jaw's right there.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way he's gone for his head there.
No.
I can nearly guarantee it. Like, and so what they're saying is they want him, like you said, Loz, it's what your body. So right now he knows he's not getting it. What, run past it? And let the Swans guy get the ball and keep running. No. He's got to do something. You know what I mean? He's got to, and he's not doing that on purpose. But he's not going to run past the ball.
No,
you lose that competitive. You're gone. That little moment.
That's exactly
you're gone.
Right. So I think what they want them to do is to run straight into them without bracing.
Yeah.
You're probably going to damage
other. Yeah.
I can't believe that Mido
worse
said that they think he was actually going.
Oh, mate. Yeah. I see it all the time. They think the amount of times I see accidents.
So, you know, if he doesn't brace himself there
and
just keeps going, what happens then when the collision happens?
Well, anything could happen. Could get ugly, couldn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. And then what do they say?
Can't speak for them. I'm with you, Loz. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And again, I understand the crackdown. And I understand in that situation, if you want to give someone a suspension, that's fine. But I think 3 weeks is harsh.
That's a long time, Loz, for that.
Yeah.
Unintentional.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
I don't mind if it's a week, possibly two, but for 3 weeks is I think, it's a bit too much.
I'll read you some quotes from David King. Of course, North Melbourne played a gazillion games. No, that's not good. You can't brace like that and make that sort of contact anymore. He chooses to bump. At the end, he chooses to bump. I know he's coming at speed. He's got some decisions to make. But the one outcome that he must prevent is contact with the head. But guess what? It happens. Like,
how do you stop the contact?
I don't know.
I think you could do probably more damage if you continue to keep going.
At that height, the higher, because he braces, he goes a little bit lower. So the higher, it's definitely going to take his height higher than the chin. He's sort of...
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Everyone's got different opinions on this. Mm. You know, there'd be other experts that would say, AFL experts that would say, what's he supposed to do?
You know what they'd be saying? Stick to NRL.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, yeah, and they judge it probably differently to what we do.
Yeah, that's what I was getting
at. But I see that as a 1 week suspension rather than a 3 week suspension.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. That's Pressing Matters on a Tuesday. Good on you, Josie.
Very pressing.
Where's he going? Good on you. You're only here for an hour.
Welcome back. 1353 53 is the number. 0419 767 272. Give us a call. Give us a text. Joshy Reynolds filling in this morning. Pup is back tomorrow.
The pup's
back. Or Thursday. Maybe Thursday. Not sure. But he's on the way back from India anyway. Manchester United are getting embarrassed at Selhurst Park this morning. They are 4-0 down in the 76th minute in their Premier League clash there this morning in London. Crystal Palace, jeez. And tomorrow's the Champions League, by the way, and we'll get some markets off Jared Duffy, who's coming up shortly, and that is the second leg. PSG against Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund taking a 1-0 aggregate lead to Paris ahead of that one tomorrow. Last night, some big boxing in Japan. Aussie Jason Maloney unfortunately lost his WBO bantamweight title via a unanimous decision to Yoshiki Take in Tokyo, and Naoya Inoue. He suffered his first ever knockdown in the first round against his Mexican opponent Luis Neri, but he bounced back to retain his super bantamweight titles in the sixth round. A KO there in the sixth. And Aussie Sam Goodman actually entered the ring and called him out after as well. On Sunday, it is George Kambosos up against Vasily Lomachenko over there in Perth. Some belts on the line there as well. And Lomachenko is very short for that bout. He's $1.12 with tab. And George Kambosos is $6 to cause what would be a boil over there. He's done it before, though, when he beat Lopez to win the belts, and then unfortunately lost them to Devin Haney, of course. So Kambosos needing another big upset there on Sunday. Just some of your texts here. The suspension to Callum Brown is both ridiculous and cruel. There's nothing else he could have done. Two physical players will run at it like that every weekend. Brown honoured his duty of care. He could not prevent contact to the head because McCartan dropped his head. But this conversation supports James Graham's idea for more than one set of eyes on a reply. Good chat, boys. On a replay? On a replay. Good chat, boys. That's from Tim. Thanks, Tim. And I better probably proofread some of these. I haven't yet. But your Dogs and Panthers on Friday night. A lot of players know each other very well, to say the least. I actually saw some of Cameron Serrato's comments on Matt Burton yesterday as well. His Origin hope, Scrubby, says he thinks that at his best he should be in those teams, but that's up to Burton. Well, he's got no better time to shine to throw his Origin case forward than this match against the triple defending premiers on Friday night.
I agree with Zero. Like, Burto's finding his groove now. He's running the ball a lot more. I think that left edge is helping him with his confidence. You know, he's getting the mix really well. We went hit and kick out early, basing his game around little things like push support. He's a big, big body, Birdo. When he realises that in games, you can tell he defends aggressively, and he's going after the game more. So I couldn't agree more with Ciro's comments when Birdo's on thinking run. And the thing is, boys, he can obviously play in multiple positions in the back line. Could be the 14. But yeah, big game for us this week. It's fair to say it'd probably be a rivalry game now. You know, there's always that little bit of, especially it was sort of like when Dez come to the Dogs from Manly. There was always that little bit of rivalry, players, coaches swapping, and I feel it's a good time for us to hit Penrith. Like I really do.
Ambush.
Look, ambush.
This would be an ambush.
This would be a good old fashioned ambush, but I just know the boys, if they can go in with a real defensive mindset. When I say defensive mindset, defend how we have been defending, but also go after them. Go after them with attack. We've been, you know, probably not on the weekend. We didn't play our best against the Tigers, but it was good. The one thing I loved about the weekend, Loz, was to come back. Losing at half time, come over the top of the Tigers must give the boys a lot of confidence. And look, Penrith are going to throw a lot more at us, but I'm being super pleased with our defence, even against the good attacking sides.
Yeah, no, I've been impressed with the Bulldogs this year. And that was a game they had to win last week against the Tigers. As a Bulldogs team with where they're at, I see them, they've got to win those type of games. Mm-hmm. They've got to win the games against the West Tigers and the Titans and the teams below them.
Yep.
And then if they can jag a couple against the good sides, that's a really good year. So this will be a good test to see where the Dogs are at, I reckon, Penrith. You know, they're just doing what they normally do. I remember you talking about an ambush when they went to Melbourne, the Dogs, and they nearly pulled it off. They're going to have to play nearly similar to the way they played that night and make everything stick and have the same urgency to give themselves a chance. But no, I like everything the Bulldogs have been doing this year. I think they're a much improved team. And defensively, they're very strong. I always get worried about them because they had a smaller pack and I thought they might have been, you know, railed through the middle a little bit, but what they're doing at the moment is pretty good.
People are always saying, what's going on with the Warriors? What's going on with the Cowboys? Because you look at the Cowboys team, you look at the Warriors team, and then you look at the Dog team on paper. The Cowboys and the Warriors got superstars everywhere. Mm. But the one thing I will say, the Dogs are doing nearly the most out of anyone in the comp is the little things. They're competing harder on the little things.
Yeah.
You watch their kick chase. You, Aiden Caesar on the weekend would be having nightmares right now because of the kick pressure he was getting every single time. But then you look at the Warriors. There was a time there on the weekend, Sean Johnson, the Warriors had the Knights. They were on top in the little arm wrestle. Johnson put a nice bomb up into the corner. No one chased it. Little things like that. And it's just, they're the intent thing that I think we're winning in the battles, these games.
Well, they're your bread and butter. If you've got talent and you throw all the effort-based plays into the game, you're going to be extremely hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
You've conceded 17 points per game after 8 games so far. Last year, 32 points per game.
Wow.
So you've nearly halved it as far as, and defence surely was a big feature of that off-season there. Because last year it was a debacle, wasn't it, defensively there at the Dogs. But you've cleaned it up.
Yeah, if you remember, like when I was coming on the show last year, I was saying that it is a hard defensive system to get your head around. You got to work extremely hard, especially in the middle. And now you can see the boys are getting it. It's going to be interesting to see pretty much the two defensive sides this week, Penrith and the Dogs, doing the same defensive style. Who's going to do it better? And I'm actually excited to watch it because I sort of know the key factors in what you need to do, and it's more about tying him from the middle and putting pressure on people.
Do you think, and with that defensive system takes a lot of effort, obviously, you've got to be fit. Do you think the Dogs are fitter this year, second year under Cameron?
I think they're fitter in the system, Loz, if that makes sense. So they're understanding that if you put an effort in this area, you're going to get it back in this area. And it's about trust. It's about me putting in the effort for you, knowing that you've got my back. Because sometimes in game laws, like an example is like a kick pressure. It's a decision, isn't it?
Oh.
Kick pressure is a decision that you got to make in that exact moment, but it's not for you. It's for your forwards to have that little bit of break. And then I think that's what it is. The boys are realizing what we put in defense, we put that much effort, that much energy into it, we're going to get it back at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, Jared Duffy from TAB is joining us to get the latest markets. How are you, Jared?
I'm good, thanks, Mido. Morning, Loz. Morning, Josh.
Great Grub is selling us the Dogs against the Panthers like it's a 3-bedroom oasis on Belmore Road. What price can you give us? And he is a real estate agent as well.
There's no oasis in Belmore, let me tell you that much.
The luxurious quote of $6. Penrith $1.13.
You're picking it up cheap.
If you want to go cautiously, Josh, plus 15.5, $1.95.
Easy. 15.5. Giving us that much.
What are 3-4 bettors going for in
Belmont? Let me tell you one thing. There's no oasises.
Now, Daff, last time I checked, I thought the market was wrong in the Storm Sharks game.
You know what it was yesterday morning?
No.
Well,
it was $2.50 or something, was it?
Was $1.48 Storm and $2.65 Cronulla.
Yeah.
I got a bit of a shock when I saw that because I thought Cronulla might even be favourites.
That's what I was thinking.
But as the day progressed yesterday, the Sharkies just got shorter and shorter And now it's $1.80 Melbourne, $2 Cronulla.
Yeah.
That's a big move.
No, that is
a big move. In the direction I thought
I reckon Sharks will firm even shorter.
I agree. Mm.
Yeah. No Pappenhausen?
Yeah. No. Well, and the other match of interest is Gold Coast v North Queensland. And there's been a bit of interest in the Titans at $2.30. The Cowboys $1.62. And that one's got added importance because of the most losses or the market to run last. Now, on Sunday at one stage, we had Gold Coast and South $2.50 equal favourites. But now Gold Coast back into $2.25, South $3.25 and the Tigers $4.50. But if Gold Coast win that one, that's two wins. And if you end up on the same amount of points, it's decided by for and against. And South's for and against is horrific compared to the Gold Coast. So if you think the Gold Coast can win this week, maybe you should have something on South to run last. And who would have thought that?
Wow.
That would just be...
What would they have been before the start of the year?
I think they were 80-1, weren't they?
To run last year, they were 81.
Yeah, right.
They were $9 third or fourth favourites to win the title before the season got underway. Well, I think they're 15 now to make the eight, and honestly, you couldn't take that. They're 201 to win it, but oddly enough, we did take one bet yesterday. This is one of the most ambitious punts I've ever heard. 1,000 on them at 200-1, $201 to win the title.
$1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 15 to make the eight.
Yeah, right.
There's turnarounds and there's turnarounds, but geez.
Yeah, I'd be more confident about them making the eight than winning the comp.
Hmm. Yep.
It'd be interesting to see how Latrell bounces back. If the are going to go well, Latrell needs to fight.
Well, yeah, I'll give you this. This time last year, they were running first and missed the eight.
Hmm.
And they're running last. So they can still do it, but do we look at them at the moment and go, they're good enough to do it? Or have they just completely lost their way and they're just going to just bounce around until the end of the season and wait till Wayne gets here?
And the other little surprise, I suppose, is the Dolphins, who were 34 to win it, but now they're $1.85 to make the eight. So at that price, they're ahead of the Warriors, the Cowboys, Canberra. All these sides that would have been above them before the season started.
Mm, very interesting. Mm. On to the AFL, Daff, a couple of big games. Carlton play Melbourne and Geelong v Port.
Yeah, well, each and every week, Josh, there's big games in the AFL. That one on Thursday night, it will be a classic. And Melbourne, the faves there at $1.80, Carlton at $2, so there's not much in that particular one. And Friday night, it's actually a doubleheader. Geelong $1.28, Port $3.70, 23.5 points. And the other match Friday night, so don't be caught unawares here. Fremantle host the Swans. Frio $2.20, the Swans $1.67, so obviously not much in that particular market. And to win the flag, well, Sydney, the standalone favourites now after the weekend. They're at $5, just ahead of Geelong at $5.50. The Giants move out to $6, Melbourne $7, Collingwood back into $9, Carlton $9. Brisbane 16, Frio 18, the rest are 23 or better.
Carlton pretenders, Daff?
Well, they've put together a few losses now. I think it's harsh.
Mm.
You've got to get over this hatred for Carlton, Jared.
Well, it's Laurie's hatred for Carlton.
Not my hatred. I think they can win the comp.
Mm. I think anybody can win the comp.
I think it's
you
quite...
still think Carlton can win the comp?
I think it's three or four sides, and Carlton is one of them.
They were only a kick away from winning last week.
Yeah, this I think they just... play some good football, and I reckon that I wouldn't be riding. In fact, I think they can win this weekend against Melbourne. I don't think Melbourne can win it.
I'd probably have Melbourne above Carlton, but there you go. We might have a little side wager loss.
We might do. What about the NBA, Daff, today? The Knicks and Pacers, is it?
Yes, it is. Actually, very little movement in both of these matches. The Knicks in action first up at 9:30, $1.44. Indiana $2.90, that line 5.5 out to 6, so it's moved a little bit. And then Denver $1.46, Minnesota $2.80. Of course, Minnesota winning game won the other day in a bit of an upset. The market was pretty similar to what it is today, and a line of 5.5 points there in favour of Denver.
We've got Champions League tomorrow morning, Daff.
We have the return leg, PSG 145, draw 450, Dortmund at $6. To win that tie, PSG $1.65, although they trail, and Dortmund at $2.20. And then Thursday morning, Real Madrid 187, draw 380, Bayern Munich at $3.70, and Real Madrid pretty short there, given it's two all, $1.48. Excuse me, Bayern Munich at $2.60.
Beautiful stuff, mate. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Jared.
Thank you. Adam Pengilly of the Sydney Morning Herald is just give an English Premier League score update into stoppage time. Crystal Palace leading Manchester United 4-0, and it looks like they've just hit the post as well. Could have been 5-0. Morning to you, mate.
You're like clockwork, mate. Every time I come on, just a Premier League update with United getting pumped.
Well, I just thought that the listeners deserved an update with what was going on at Selhurst Park in live terms. But, well, gee, that's grim, isn't it?
I don't think Eric Ten Hag survives now, Mido, does he?
I just saw that people at Bayern Munich wanted to talk to him. If I was a United fan, I'd be like...
He's selling him.
Go for gold, Eric.
I'd drive him there personally.
Yeah, exactly. But no, gee, this is as grim as it gets.
It's rough, isn't it? You know, they are miles, miles and miles off the pace.
They're in Ibiza with Grubby.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Okay, let's talk some racing then. And the Goodwood, we go to Adelaide for the Group 1 there on Saturday.
Yeah, we do, Mido, and it looks like an interesting field shaping up. I'm still not completely convinced about Amelia's Jewel at 1,200 metres, and I know that Simon Miller has said that this is going to be her next target after she contested the Quokka, but I just get the feeling she's a bit of a better 1,400 metre to a mile horse at the moment. But having said that, there's probably not a whole lot of options around for it this time of year, particularly if I don't want to go to Queensland. So I can understand why they're taking on the race, but I'd be happy to risk her a little bit of the trip. But it's shaping up to be a really good field. I mean, at a bit of the top-end class there will be Bella Nipotina and King Espada and Valana near the top of the weights. And a lot of form coming through the Sangster this year with some of those mares in IME, Benedetta, Learning to Fly as well. So usually this time of year, we lose a lot of those gun sprinters. Obviously, they've been competing in the Melbourne and Sydney Autumn Carnivals. But I think this field for the Goodwood this year is kind of a relatively strong field. So we'll get that final field a little bit later today and dive into the form later in the week.
What have we got this weekend? Where are we off to? Gosford.
Gosford, Loz, the coast. The big feature race up there for three-year-olds and four-year-olds with worth $500,000, sorry. And again, another fascinating race. I hope this track sort of holds up relatively well with a lot of wet weather forecast for Sydney and surrounding areas later this week. But the horse that I'm most interested in is Tabby Time for Chris Lees. I think Chris is right. He came out in the last 24 hours saying, I don't think this horse is at his best over 1,400 metres. And clearly, given he's eligible for the provincial and midway championship, he had to sort of keep him to that distance range to try and be fresh enough for that race. He ran well behind Territory Express in fifth there and made a good sustained run from a long way back in the field. I'm imagining getting out to this trip of the coast probably going to suit him a little bit better. So it looks like a really ideal race for him, and looks like it should be another pretty good field as well on Saturday.
Adam, J-Max, Hong Kong's number one target.
Yeah, this is fascinating, Josh. We know anything to do with the Hong Kong Jockey Club is always a cone of silence or shrouded in secrecy, but their CEO over there, Winfred Engelbert Brecius, has come out in the last 24 hours and said, you know what, we want him. We want him in Hong Kong on a permanent basis. He's our absolute number one target. And we know James has been doing a lot of these hit-and-run missions to Hong Kong over the last 12 to 18 months. He's obviously ridden some of their best horses over there, including Romantic Warrior. I just wonder if the time's coming soon enough where he makes the permanent switch to Hong Kong. It seems like the Hong Kong Jockey Club's completely just rolling out the red carpet for him, trying to make him feel comfortable and wanting to get him over there on a permanent basis to join sort of Huey Bowman and Brenton Abdullah and Zach Purton as the Aussies riding over there on a full-time basis. And I don't know. I just don't know when the time's right for him in his career and with his family and everything like that to make the move. I'm convinced that one day he'll go over there and ride full-time, but I just don't know how soon it's going to be.
Now, David Fifita, where does he land in your humble opinion?
Oh, good question. Good question, Mido. You have to say that as each day ticks by, there's less and less chance of him staying at the Gold Coast Titans. And he's had this clause in his deal, everyone's known for a long time. He had to activate by start of round 10 to take his option at the Titans for next year. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but he's left it until the last week to virtually start having serious negotiations with other clubs, which to me suggests that he's not completely happy on the Gold Coast there, albeit that's probably the place where he's going to earn the most money for 2025. I think he's a very good chance, or I think he's a decent chance of going to the Panthers. I think that would really appeal to him playing in that squad, playing outside Nathan Cleary and running lines off him. He could be any sort of player. I don't want to discount the Roosters, because whenever they come in for a player and they come in hard, they usually get them, and they've made their move for David Fifita. So at the moment, I've got Penrith just slightly ahead in getting him, but he's got a big call to make in the next 48 hours.
Mm. And obviously, they're able to do that with James Fisher-Harris moving on the Panthers. Do you know whether they see him as a back rower or a middle forward?
Yeah, I think they'd probably sort of see him more as a back rower, Loz. We know that he's not the type of guy who's going to have a really high work rate or massive intensity like that. He's going to pick and choose his moments when to inject himself into the game. And probably, to be fair, Loz, the one area I think Penrith probably lacked just a little bit of depth might be in their edge back row. We know that Liam Martin clearly is their number one back row. He's a walk-up starter for New South Wales in the State of Origin side. Scott Sorensen's been a great player for them for a number of years, but he's battled a few injury issues this year. And then outside of that, you're sort of looking at guys like maybe Luke Garner, who's off contract for next year and not confirmed to stay at Penrith. Maybe young NG, Maverick Guy, or Harry Hassett, who are sort of trying to make their way and establish themselves as first graders. I could see a stage where they even maybe say to Scott Sorensen, you can play in the middle and rotate between the middle and edge, or even do that to Liam Martin, who's done that in the past. So I can completely understand why Penrith are making the play for him. He's a game-breaking back rower who I think would fit into their system really well outside Nathan Cleary or whoever plays 5-8 for them on the left-hand side next year. So, yeah, when Penrith come knocking, and they haven't done this for the best part of how many years, guys? 5 or 6 years? They've had a real crack at a marquee player outside their system. It's going to be hard to turn down.
Just watching your Manchester United players going over and getting applause from the fans over there at Selhurst Park. Wonder what they're shouting out, though. Wonder if it's complimentary after that 4-0 defeat. Anyway, mate, I'll leave you to it. Have a good day. We'll get some midweek mail off you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. See you tomorrow.